Who Fears Death by Nnedi Okorafor. Table of Contents. The Origin. Najiba's Trauma and the Desert. The Integration. Finding Fadil in a Home in Jawahir. The Awakening. The 11th Rite and Eshu Powers. The Master. Arrow and the Mystic Points. The Exodus. The Journey West. The Encounter. The Red People and the Masquerade. The Climax. Reaching Durfa and the Rewrite. The Transfiguration. Who Fears Death. The Book Who Fears Death by Nnedi Okorafor is a complex, post-apocalyptic fantasy set in a future Sudan, framed as the life story of a young woman named Anyazanwu, who sits in a jail cell awaiting execution for a crime she believes was her destiny. She tells her story to a Nuru man with a laptop, seeking to correct the lies told about her and to leave a legacy for the child growing in her womb, whom she names Enigwe. The Origin. Najiba's Trauma and the Desert. Anyazanwu's existence begins in violence. Her mother, Najiba, was an Okiki woman living in a peaceful village during the time of genocide. The world is divided between the Okiki, the created ones, dark-skinned, and the Nuru, skinned the color of the sun, who believe they came from the stars. According to the Great Book, the Okiki are meant to be slaves to the Nuru due to an ancient transgression. During the spiritual retreat where Okiki women held conversation with the goddess Ani, in the desert, they were ambushed by Nuru militants on scooters. The men systematically raped the women, intending to plant poison in the form of Iwa children, children of violence who belong neither to the Okiki nor the Nuru. Najiba's attacker was a tall, powerful Nuru sorcerer who recorded the assault on a digital device, singing as he violated her. While the other survivors returned to their burning village, Najiba, feeling dead inside, wandered into the desert to die. However, when she realized she was pregnant, she chose to survive for the sake of the child. Living as a nomad, she taught herself to use a capture station for water and to hunt desert creatures. She gave birth alone in a tent to a girl with sand-colored skin and tiger eyes. She named the child Anyazanwu, which means, who fears death. The early years were spent in isolation until Anyazanwu fell ill with a fever at 4 months old, forcing Najiba to seek a healer in the Okiki town of Daliza. There, they were met with hostility and stoned by the Okiki residents, who saw the Iwu baby as a Nuru concubine's spawn. This established a lifelong pattern of Anyazanwu being an outcast. The Integration. Finding Fadil in a Home in Jawahir. When Anyazanwu was 6, Najiba decided she needed to live among people to go to school, and they traveled to the town of Jawahir, the home of the Golden Lady. In Jawahir, young Anyazanwu befriended a blacksmith named Fadil Ogundimu. Fadil was the first person other than her mother to love her without judgment, famously stating that the way a child is conceived is not the child's fault. He eventually married Najiba, providing Anyazanwu with the only papa she would truly know. Anyazanwu's childhood was marked by her volatile nature and the growth of strange, suppressed power. At age 11, a pivotal event occurred. While watching a storm, she touched a sparrow's feather and suddenly found herself naked at the top of a giant iroko tree in the center of town. She had unknowingly shape-shifted into a bird and flown there. This event prompted Najiba to finally tell Anyazanwu the truth about her biological father and the circumstances of her birth. The Awakening. The 11th Rite and Eshu Powers. Against her mother's wishes, Anyazanwu chose to undergo the 11th year rite, a traditional circumcision intended to mark the transition to womanhood. She hoped the ritual would make her normal and stop the strange occurrences. During the ceremony, performed by the priestess known as the Ada, Anyazanwu experienced a profound spiritual transport. As she was cut, she entered the wilderness, a spirit realm, and saw herself as a blue mist. In this realm, she encountered a terrifying red and white oval eye, the spiritual manifestation of her biological father, Dabe, who began to hunt her through her dreams and visions. The ritual also bound Anyazanwu to three other girls, Luyu, Binta, and Didi. This bond became a central support system as they navigated the complexities of Jawahir's social rules. Anyazanwu also met Mwida, another Iwu teenager who had witnessed her in the Iroko tree. Mwida became her mentor and eventually her lover. He identified her as an Eshua fundamental shape-shifter and taught her simple sorcery, such as calling butterflies or changing into a vulture. The Master. Arrow and the Mystic Points. Anya Zanwu eventually learned that Muida was the apprentice of a powerful sorcerer named Arrow. She demanded to be taught, but Arrow initially refused her because she was a woman, believing that female emotions and woman blood made them dangerous and unstable sorcerers. Anya Zanwu's fury at this rejection culminated in a physical and spiritual attack on Arrow when she was 16, nearly killing him with her raw, untrained power. However, when Anya Zanwu's stepfather Fadil died, her grief caused her to accidentally resurrect his body. At the funeral, an act of such immense power that Arrow realized he had no choice but to train her to prevent her from becoming a danger to the world. He agreed to teach her the great mystic points. Yuwa, the physical world and the body. MMUO, the wilderness or spirit realm. Alusi, the realm of deities and non-human spirits. Okike, the creator, a point that cannot be touched or manipulated. Arrow's training was rigorous and often cruel. To test her, he sent her into the desert for an initiation, overseen by an ancient sorcerer named Sola. During this initiation, Anya Zanwu was forced to experience a vision of her own death, being buried to her neck and stoned by a mob of Nuru. She survived the trauma, and the experience broke the juju placed on her during the 11th rite, allowing her to finally experience physical intimacy with Muida without the magical pain intended to enforce purity, the exodus, the journey west. As Anya Zanwu's powers grew, so did the threat of her biological father, General Dabe, who was leading a massive Nuru military campaign to exterminate the remaining Okiki in the west. After Anya Zanwu used her voice to project a horrific vision of the genocide into the Jawahir market, an act that caused a town-wide panic, it was decided she had to leave. Anya Zanwu, Muida, Luyu, Binta, Didi, and Didi's husband Finasi set out on a journey west to confront Dabe. The journey was grueling and marked by internal strife. The group was plagued by the shifting dynamics of their relationships, particularly the infidelity of Finasi with Luyu, which caused a rift with Didi. Along the way, they encountered Banza, an Okiki town of art and culture, where Anya Zanwu was nearly raped by a group of Nuru men. She escaped by transforming into a sphinx, a terrifying creature from the Great Book, establishing her reputation as a powerful and dangerous figure. In Banza, she also met the children of the Ada twins, whom the Ada had abandoned decades earlier. Anya Zanwu attempted to heal the daughter, Numu, of a twisted spine, but Numu ultimately chose to die and enter the wilderness. The journey turned tragic in the town of Papa Shi. When the residents recognized Anya Zanwu and Muida as Iwu, they began stoning them. In the chaos, Binta was killed by a brick thrown at her head. Devastated, Anya Zanwu used her power to strike the entire town blind, a permanent curse for their violence against her friend. The encounter, the red people and the masquerade. The survivors were eventually taken in by the Va. The red people, a nomadic tribe that lived inside a perpetual, protective dust storm. The Va sorcerers, Ssequan Ting, recognized Anya Zanwu's potential and helped her complete a crucial part of her training. Sola appeared to her again within the Va storm, revealing that Dabe was actually his former student who had gone wrong. During her time with the Va, Anya Zanwu experienced a massive spiritual release during a retreat. She also learned that her mother, Najiba, possessed the rare ability to Alu, to travel within the spirit world as an Alusi, and had been secretly protecting and guiding her in the form of a Kapanyungo, a giant fire-breathing lizard. Driven by arrogance and a need for revenge, Anya Zanwu attempted to attack Dabe in the spirit world. She failed miserably. Dabe was waiting and inflicted horrific spiritual injuries upon her, branding her right hand with a slow and cruel poison symbol. Ting was forced to work a permanent Nisibidi juju on Anya Zanwu's hands to stop the poison, which rendered her right hand dangerous to use for healing. The climax, reaching Durfa and the rewrite. The group was reduced to Anya Zanwu, Muida, and Luyu after Finasi and Didi deserted them to return to Jawahir. They finally reached Durfa, the seat of Dibe's power. Under the cover of ignorability, they infiltrated Dibe's headquarters, a building with a blue door. There, they confronted Dabe, who revealed his plan to fulfill the prophecy of a tall bearded Nuru sorcerer, who would rewrite the Great Book to finalize the Okiki's destruction. A brutal battle ensued. Dabe's shape shifted into a tiger and killed Muida. tearing his throat open. In a state of pure grief and desperation, Anya Zhongwu chose to conceive Muida's child at the moment of his death, an act that triggered a massive magical shockwave. This shockwave killed every fertile man in Derfond, made all the women pregnant, effectively ending Daib's army before it could march. Anya Zhongwu and Lu Yu fled to a small island in the lake with no name to find the seer Rana. There, Anya Zhongwu found the original great book. Using her poisoned right hand and her desert songs, she rewrote the book in Nisibidi, lifting the ancient curse from the Okiki and fundamentally changing the reality of the world. Outside the hut, Nuru men arrived and brutally murdered Lu Yu. Anya Zhongwu surrendered to them, resigned to the fate she had seen in her initiation. The transfiguration, who fears death. Anya Zhongwu was taken back to Durfa, where she was kept in a concrete cell. She spent her final days dictating her story to the Nuru twins who had come to witness her execution. She showed no fear, even as she was dragged to the hole to be stoned. At the moment of her execution, as the rocks hit her, a blinding light flowed from her, melting the sand around her into glass. However, the epilogue reveals that Anya Zhongwu did not simply die. As the expert Eshu she had become, she used the moment of death to shape-shift into a Kaponyungo. She blasted her executioners with fire and flew into the sky, heading toward the green place of hope she had once seen in a vision, where she believed she would find the spirit of Muida. Her sacrifice and her rewriting of the book transformed the world. Slavery was abolished, and women across the kingdom suddenly found themselves possessed of thousands of magical abilities. While the Nuru in the square waited for her blood, Anya Zhongwu was already gone, having given birth to a new world in her death. This summary is for educational purposes only.